Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to greet you and to welcome you to our broadcast each and every day as we face the issues. As we face the issues today, we're going to be looking at a very serious, somber, but yet necessary topic. We're going to be talking about today America's disbelief in the Bible, or a better way to ask that or to state that, why America is in decline. Why America is in decline. Perhaps you wondered, did the decline in America via spirituality, religiosity, and as Christians would call it, religious worship or worship services, have you wondered if the real decline came as a result of COVID-19 shutdown, or if we were already well underway? Or do we see the two of them in a juncture in some fashion that exacerbates the problem and brings about the result that we're facing today? Why America is in decline? America's disbelief in the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? Do you believe it from cover to cover? No, I didn't ask you, did you understand it? Or do you understand it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that what God said is what God said and that settles it? I've said to people so many times down through the years, there's been the challenge I've had those say, well, defend the Word, prove the Word. God didn't call me to prove the Word, to defend the Word, just to preach the Word. That's what He calls upon us to do, is to communicate the truth of the Word. He doesn't call upon us to understand all of it. I've used the illustration that I could study the Bible 2,000 lifetimes, not 2,000 years, 2,000 lifetimes, if it were possible, and never scratch the surface on the understanding of what God has for us in His Word. That's how deep and that's how broad the Word of God is. But I'm staggered by some of the new statistical data and the new survey results in surveying Christians, professing Christians across America, and what is the position that's taken on the Word of God. Is it the Word of God? Is it relevant today? Is it truth today? In a ever-changing culture, does the Bible ever become obsolete? Think on those things as we consider today America's disbelief in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus' dogmatic statement to His disciples in John 8:31-32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then He goes on to say in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, let that sink in. The Word of God is truth. It's not just relevant truth. It is truth. It's not just occasional truth. It is truth. It's not just an occasional nugget of truth. The Word of God is truth from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. It's the truth that's called the Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible. But truth is something that people don't want to hear today. They're not listening to, not interested in. And so should it surprise us that the truth book is now being cast away and it's being put in the realm of doubt and considered obsolete by churches and some pastors? Multitudes of professing Christians. But George Orwell, many years ago, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that today taking place, ladies and gentlemen, as perhaps never before in your lifetime or mine. In fact, I believe I could be dogmatic enough to say we see that taking place today as never before in the history of our nation. This is the reason I find it so refreshing with the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I suggest that is being perhaps a statement that ought to be adopted by Christians across the world, that we seek the truth and listen to the truth and learn the truth and love the truth and tell the truth and live the truth and defend the truth even to death. That ought to be our position as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a full staff of knowledgeable people. They can answer your questions about power equipment, landscape equipment, and power backup preparedness equipment for the hurricane season. Tools for Time can answer all of your questions, ladies and gentlemen, with their knowledgeable staff. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That is 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. And you can search for the gigantic flagpole, 165-foot flagpole, with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, I can get caught up in the dialogue and the discussion and the response to you and your telephone calls. Sometimes I forget to remind us. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so then we can have dialogue and discussion on this very, very, very imperative, important subject matter that we're talking about today, America's disbelief in the Bible. If you were to run a survey, how many do you think, if you would interview 100 people or 1,000 people or 100,000 people, what percentage would you think say that they would believe the Bible to be the relevant Word of God today? It surprised me when I did some review of some research data from the Pew, not from the Pew, but from the George Barna Research Group and from the Lifeway Survey Group. And we're going to be talking about those statistical data and those numbers during the course of this broadcast. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. Perhaps I need to ask you a question. Do you have doubts about the Word of God? Do you believe the Scripture? I'm not talking about do you believe some watered down version. I'm talking about do you believe the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? Do you believe what the Bible says, whether you like it or not? That's the key question that you need to be asking yourself today during the course of this broadcast. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the government has shut down our nation's churches, and I believe it's had a very negative impact on the morals and the ethics and the spiritual values and the social fabric of our nation today. Now, you may disagree. I believe that for the past 5 months, we've had for the most part, churches have been shut down. There's still thousands upon thousands of churches across America that shut down. They refuse to allow to open the doors. Governor Gavin Newsom in California is the key culprit of the governors across America. Others are wicked, evil, and bad without any question. And I don't need to go into all the detail as to what I've talked about for months and months and months on this broadcast about what the wannabe dictators are doing. Those governors and mayors in the blue cities and blue states, that is, those that are the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democrat governors and mayors, they are bent and determined that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stay in lockdown mode. But I believe it's had a very negative, detrimental effect on our nation, morally, ethically, spiritually, and socially, from the fabric of our nation. In fact, the very source of comfort and of concern and of caring and of counsel coming out of the churches has been foreclosed upon by the dictates of the mayors and the governors across America that keep their thumb on the churches and yet allowing other places, liquor stores, abortion clinics, and the big box stores, et cetera, remain open. And they're considered essential, but churches have not been considered essential by any governmental agency across America. America's churches were already in what I call a nosedive into apostasy. And keep in mind, the Bible warns us, tells us very clearly and distinctly that before the Antichrist steps on the scene, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and following, tells us very clearly that the churches, the nation's churches, the global church, the body of Christ, will be in a state of apostasy, that is a falling away. And I believe we're in that state today, and I believe we need to understand that that which has taken place by way of the government and the forced closure of the churches has simply exacerbated that. In fact, in the scripture tells us in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith," that is to fall away, apostatize, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that this is exactly what we see taking place today in America. But what has exacerbated that? What's caused it to exponentially increase in that state of apostasy? I believe it's as a result of the shutdown, the directive, the decree by governors and mayors. In fact, in the state of California, some 30 or 32 counties, making up about 80% of the churches in the state of California, have been ordered in shutdown. They were ordered to close temporarily. Then they were restriction was increased. Then they were ordered not to be able to sing in the church. And now thousands upon thousands of churches across America still in shutdown. And thankfully, there's about 2,000 or 3,000 churches in California that filed suit against the governor for them to be able to get relief through the courts in order to do that which God orders in His Word, and that is to gather together and to worship and to fellowship around His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the shutdown has delivered a fatal blow. May I be dramatic, dogmatic, and definitive. I believe that the nation's shutdown of the churches is the causative factor for what I would call a fatal blow to our nation's spirituality and faith in the Word of God. I believe it's the fatal blow. So keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, even with Christians, there's about the same number of Christians having abortions as the lost world, about the same number of Christians today, according to the previous statistical data and surveys by the George Barner Report, that believe that it's all right to have an abortion, it's all right to be deceitful, it's all right to lie when you find it is necessary, et cetera, et cetera. We're finding that already where the world has crept into the church. But ladies and gentlemen, we're finding what I call the fatal blow against the church, the nation's spirituality, as a result of the shutdown. Before we take our first caller, let me just introduce a brief article. It's not on the surveys and the data that's reported by George Barner Report and by the Lifeway Survey. This article says California Governor Gavin Newsom was the first governor in the country to issue a statewide stay-at-home order, directing all residents in March 19 to refrain from leaving their homes indefinitely. Apprehension and threat to the fundamental freedom by autocratic overreach should have been the immediate reaction of the Golden State residents, but it wasn't. Further in the article, it uses some illustrations, and it talks about, first of all, the violation of constitutional law provides a glimpse into Newsom's moral character. It goes into the background of his moral character. Then it says America's 18th century forefathers experienced a similar preemptory autocrat in the form of the King of England. Thomas Jefferson formally indicted such high-handed tyrannical behavior in the Declaration of Independence. Quote, "A prince whose character is thus marked by every act that may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people," end quote. Further, the article says, First Amendment religious liberties and rights. Governor Newsom's stay-at-home order March the 19th led to California churches being designated as non-essential, while liquor stores, marijuana distribution centers, abortion clinics were all deemed essential. With nothing but grace, love, compassion, humility, and other demonstrations of the Spirit of Christ, California pastors closed their churches down across the state from March 22nd to Pentecost Sunday, May 31st, 2020. Next, on July the 3rd, Newsom outlawed singing in the churches. Subservient subjection to the totalitarian regimes only acknowledged and legitimized the state's absolution, leading to what the scripture tells us in 1 Samuel 17:6. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he may defy the armies of the living God? And then the article goes further. Over the last 100 years, American Christendom has suffered an increasing departure from its articles of faith, evaluating political authority as though the Bible gives the state carte blanche to regulate individual, social, and ecclesiastical freedoms out of existence into deemed necessary. End quote. Americans have willfully erased from both their memory and their nation's history how we got here. The American founders established a republic in which we the people rule through the elected representatives. Governor Newsom and his fellow blue state overbearing governors and mayors are in dire need of a refresher course for some updating, superfluous and self-absorbed. They will have to be removed from office in 2022. If liberty is to prevail at all in California, where more evangelicals than any other state in the union, except for Texas, time will tell whether Christians can rise to the occasion or not. Evangelical pastors will have to take their civic game to the next level if America is to survive. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's a good introductory statement, if you will, to where we're going. We're going to look at some of the facts and the figures and the details of these surveys, and they are frightening. We need to understand that we're on a nosedive in apostasy in America. The sad thing is so many are disbelieving in the Bible. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
It's Abby. Hey, good morning. Abby. I just wanted to give you some updated good news. As far as California is going, I don't know if you've heard, but there is now a national movement, growing movement, but it started with a young pastor in California called letusworship.us. And this Sunday, they had over 5,000 people worshiping on the beach in California. They're going to do it again this weekend, and they're also have connected with the church in Portland and the pastors that have a spine in Portland, and they are sending over 2,000 people to join the church in Portland to do the same thing. They worship outside. They worship in parks. They said they'll worship under bridges. They'll worship wherever they can, and they're making a stand and worshiping and singing in California. So
yes, I read that article the other day, and I am fascinated with it, thankful for it. Howbeit, as you and I both know, that does not replace the worship inside the church house that God has designed
but
place of worship. But nevertheless, it is allowing people to go out and to express their faith in God and to be seen as worshiping. I am absolutely thankful for that, yes.
Yeah, and then the other thing is Mr. Newsom is being investigated for his use of state money to purchase face masks from China directly that no one wanted, and now he was caught trying to foist the excess off onto Costco and force them to sell them for him. So just keep praying, people. Keep praying, and thank you for your word.
Amen. Thank you so much for your call and for those words of encouragement. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe as time goes by, we'll find some of the ragged edges and the loose edges, as I would call them, in relationship to some of these wannabe tyrants that are governors that have overstepped their authority. Even with executive orders, ladies and gentlemen, there's the limit that cannot continue to be, extended. Generally, with executive orders, it's 28 days or 30 days, and then there has to be a rationale and a reason behind continuing to extend them. And I find it absolutely out of the character of what an executive order was designed for, that it continues to be utilized, and especially against the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, why America is in decline. We're talking about where we're going to go in relationship to this covering of the issues today, and that is America's disbelief in the Bible. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, what has taken place with the governors and the mayor's orders across America, it has literally exacerbated the condition of the church that was already in a state of apostasy and decline. Ladies and gentlemen, the fatal blow, I believe, to our nation's spirituality, and it ought not to have been. I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm not saying that it is acceptable biblically, theologically, doctrinally, that this would be so. But we're finding this to take place, taking place today. And today we still have thousands, as I said earlier, of churches that today have remained closed, where there's no comfort for the sick, there's no Christian counseling, there's no close Christian fellowship, there's no Bible study for the children, there are no weddings and no funerals and no singing allowed, because after all, these things have all been considered to be out of the realm of the legal standing for Mayor Newsom, Governor Newsom, and others like him across America. So has this had an impact on the Christian church across America? I say yes, indeed it has. In fact, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of those who have been semi-faithful in worship, multitudes of those that have been content with simply worshiping once every 6 months or so. In fact, you know, there are those that are called C&E Christians. That's a C, ABC, C&E Christians. Those C&E Christians are those that come to church and worship on Christmas and Easter. The C&E Christians have proliferated down through the years, and it's, you know, coming and doing the God thing on Christmas and on Easter, and yet never having a true relationship to Jesus Christ as being born again. Let me just simply tuck in this little parenthetical footnote on my statement and where I'm going in this broadcast today with Facing the Issues. There are multitudes, multitudes, yea, too many, but multitudes in our churches today that are God talkers, that act right on Sunday, talk right on Sunday, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, they come to preach on Sunday, but have never said, never been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. They've never said, Lord Jesus, I'm lost and on my way to a devil's hell. Forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. Because, you see, once we are born again, blood-bought, Bible-saved, we want to say to the Word, we want to be in church, we want to please God, we want to memorize Scripture, we want to honor Him through our life and work. We want to serve Him and surrender our lives under His Lordship. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding fewer and fewer of those in our churches today. In fact, multitudes of these have been, as I said a moment ago, simply semi-faithful in worship, and they are simply content. As a result of the lockdown of the churches, they become content to stay at home, to visit family, to go shopping, to go fishing, to go jet skiing, or sit back and watch television or a sports event on television with no interest whatsoever in the church, even where the churches have reopened. Now, I'm going to open that floodgate further during the course of this broadcast to look at statistical data that validate that statement that I've just made. We have a call on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. This is Jeff in Jacksonville.
Hey, good morning, Hi. Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. So a couple of things. I want to try to make this quick, a couple of facts and figures from modern times. The last 10 to 15 years, I believe it is, there are more people currently that believe in Scientology as a religion, which is from a science fiction writer. And surprisingly, more people are turning to the Jedi religion. I can't give you any full numbers, but more people believe in the Jedi religion than believe in God these days. Some of those facts and figures, when the Twilight movies came out, more kids believe in vampires and werewolves than they believe in God, and they've glorified vampires and werewolves. Now, going back as far as 5 years old, when I was 5 years old, they started taking God away from me in school. They took prayer out of school. If you look at history, you know, Galileo discovered that the planets revolve around the sun, and he said, we're not the center of the universe like God said. And then along comes Darwin and says, we're not created by God. We were evolved from pond scum or whatever he says. He couldn't even he knows his theory is full of holes. He even knows it. Besides the theory of evolution that they teach and the theory that we're not the center of the universe or the apple of God's eye, you got the scientists saying, oh, the world is millions and millions of years old because of carbon dating and this and that and the other. So even when I was 5 years old, when I got stuck in public school, oh, no, that's not true. It's evolution. Oh, no, that's not true. It's millions of years old. There was dinosaurs and this and that. Oh, no, that's not true. It's just, more people actually believe in aliens right now. And in fact, Madonna, the singer, said just a year ago, before all this COVID stuff started, she said, I want my daughter to learn the Bible. I really do. I want her to sit there and read it and study it. But I'm going to be sure to tell her that the whole thing's a fairy tale. So just some thoughts and some facts and figures kind of go along with what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for the call and for that information. You're exactly on target. And all of those inclusive, including some of the Barna Report, indicates and gives us good illustration and good indication as to why we're in the quagmire that we're in today, spiritually speaking, from the standpoint of the biblical Christianity that we ought to recognize as being the fundamental foundation of our nation. In fact, our nation's founders, because of their belief in God. Up until the mid-50s, truth was taught even in law school about the fundamental foundation of the laws in America coming from the Word of God, being the fundamental warp and woof of the legal jurisprudence system in America from the Word of God. But the Barna Report kind of touches on some of what our last caller just said. The Barna Report and the Lifeway Survey have shocking, what I call shocking, and revealing data coming out of their research. We find that so many of those that are so-called Christians are literally challenging the authority of God's Word. Some say that God's Word is obsolete in today's society. I'm looking at a portion of one of the surveys and studying the data. This time chart here shows timeless biblical truths. And over to the side then, it says, the truth of God's Word can mean different things to different people. 82%, listen, says the truth of God's Word can mean different things to different people, 82%. Then we find 30% plus another 24% in two different categories says as culture changes, some biblical truths become obsolete. 54%. 30% of those say, I accept truth from the Bible, but others just don't fit what I believe myself. 30%. And then 24% say that as culture changes, some biblical truths become obsolete. So that makes a total, ladies and gentlemen, of 54%. Hear me, 54% that say that as the culture changes, in other words, as morals and ethics and values devolve in society, then the truth of God's Word becomes obsolete. And in that mixture, they're saying that if the Bible says one thing and it doesn't fit what I believe, I choose to believe what I believe and not what the Word of God says. You understand, that's 54%, over half. And these that are making these statements, ladies and gentlemen, are coming out of our churches. And I'll show you that in a moment as we look at some of the interior data of these surveys and the data reports from the Barna Report and from the Lifeway Research and Survey Group. Ladies and gentlemen, it's staggering when you understand 54% of those in churches now saying that the Bible truths are obsolete as the change takes place in our nation, that the Bible becomes more and more obsolete. I don't know of anything that's any more frightening than that statement. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible is the source book of truth. It is never changing, never evolving or devolving. Not one jot, not one tittle shall pass away, even as the earth passes away, according to Jesus himself. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're going to continue to talk about America's disbelief in the Bible.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.